is out today.
The rest of the crew's here.
It's lazy ass. We really love America here for this 4th of July. It's not 4th of July. It's not a holiday.
Not yet, but we're here tomorrow when it is.
You know what I was wondering? You know, like, sometimes I feel ripped off in this building because people get to leave early for stuff.
Oh, yeah. On Fridays,
and we don't get to. We get those emails that, the whole office is closing. Or we get them often because it's like, oh, good job, everyone. We hit our marks. And
we're shutting
down the office. And it's always after we are done with our show anyways.
So, like, this past week, they're like, you all get to leave early on Monday, on Friday, and Monday. It's like, what? You're here to work at work. Like, I don't understand. Get double early days? If 4th of July is on a Tuesday, why can't Friday be a normal Friday?
Right, exactly.
I don't understand. I don't get it.
I think a lot of people had off Friday, Monday, and Tuesday completely.
Yeah.
Certainly Monday and Tuesday. I was surprised. Ron Berg and I were discussing it before he went on air. I was surprised how much traffic there was this morning driving in at 5:30. I mean, there was a lot of people on the road, which makes me think that I expected it to be deserted driving in because I expected nobody to be working today, but there's a lot of people on the road early.
I found more people on the road this morning than there was on a regular morning coming in here.
Me too.
I don't know what was going on. Yeah, I don't know what was going on.
I don't know if people are traveling.
Yeah, people might be traveling.
If they just hit up the club late last night.
Yeah, they're still up from last night is what's happening.
But it was too many cars. I mean, it was a lot of cars. And I'm coming down from Broward. It's not like I'm, you know, coming from Live.
What are your 4th of July plans? You got anything big going on?
I mean, we're working tomorrow.
Nah, I know, but we're done.
Probably figure out a way to maybe
have
some day drinks during the day, maybe try to get a little sun.
I wanted to do like the whole boat and fireworks thing, but what the hell? I'm not going to go out on the boat and the fireworks at 9 o'clock at night and then come back. And then,
like, you want to fire the fireworks or you want to go look at
fireworks? No, he wants to go watch them.
But who the hell's, you got to be at work the next morning. Like, nobody has Wednesday off. Like, July 5th isn't a holiday. Everybody's got to go see fireworks on Tuesday night, late as hell.
I don't know. I'm going to, like, a park in Royal Palm to where they do like, awesome fireworks.
But they're still not going to do them until dark.
Yeah, you got to wait until 8:30, 9 o'clock.
So, you can't do them before 8:39.
Yeah, but I'm not going to bed at 9 anyway.
I mean,
what are the
kids'
sleep schedule?
How are you in bed at 9 every night? How?
Because we work. We get up at 4 a.m.
She actually gets in that mother's crunch right around 8:30.
Yeah.
I get in bed and I watch TV. I have a television in my bedroom.
Mm-hmm.
But I do, if there's not sports to watch, I'm asleep by 10.
Man, that's weird. I can't do it. Even like 10 o'clock is still too early for me. Like 10:30, then I'll start thinking about bed.
Well, that was the hardest part of adjusting to this job for me. I never used to go to bed before midnight. I'd go to bed at midnight and get up at like 7 for all the law firm jobs I had. And when I took this job, I mean, that was the hardest part. Not so much the getting up in the morning, but the going to sleep at any sort of early hour was a really big adjustment for me.
I'm a lot looser with my sleep right now because my wife's home for the summer because she's a teacher. So I got the nap pass. If I need a nap, which is rare, I can take it without feeling guilty.
See, I don't like napping. I hate napping. I always feel worse when I wake up from a nap. It's very disorienting. Although now that I do this Sunday night show, I get so little sleep on Sunday nights. I went to bed last night at 2. Probably. I probably fell asleep around 2 a.m. And then today I got to sleep in extra, though. The alarm didn't go off till 5. It felt like it was noon. So that was amazing. So I slept from like probably 2 to 5 last night. So normally on Monday, so I'm actually feeling quite good today because that's probably an hour more than I normally get on Sundays. But normally on Mondays, then I have to nap because I only get like 2 hours of sleep and I'm not used to napping. And so the last time, last Monday, when I napped, I woke up in a panic, freaking out because I woke up and it was light outside.
How many hours?
And so I just was disoriented. And I thought, oh my God, I've missed work because I never wake up when it's light outside. You're not supposed to wake up when it's light outside in my world.
I feel like we could all just take Wednesday off because technically we're working tomorrow, so we get a freebie.
There you go. And we just leave Zazzle here by himself.
Can we just do that without telling anybody?
I mean, we could tell anybody anyway. And would anybody even remember, like, the way we're organized around here? Like, sometimes we would just be like, oh, well, this is schedule revision number 9.
Yeah, I told you a long time ago.
You guys don't remember?
I'm surprised Leroy is not here this morning because when he sent out the schedule a couple weeks ago or the week and a half ago or whatever it was, Leroy was on the schedule this morning in place of Romberg because Entercom just assumed that Romberg would not be willing to work Monday, Tuesday, which is pretty hilarious.
Whoa.
And then Romberg looks at me last week, like late last week, and he's like, are we not working the 4th? And I'm like, well, I am. You're not. And he's like, what do you mean I'm not? I'm like, you're not working Monday or Tuesday. He's like, what are you talking about? I need an excuse to come up and get away from my family for a few hours.
I can't be around family too long.
So like, you better tell the company and tell Leroy because he's going to end up showing up here in the morning.
These kids are exhausting, man. With the pool yesterday, these kids don't stop jumping in. You're playing lifeguard the entire time because now my son's got the super floaty, which is the on the arms around the waist.
Mm-hmm.
So he's like, it's jumping in every second. You got to make sure he doesn't die. Then you got the daughter jumping on you, doing the old choke hold.
Yeah, make sure he doesn't die.
I mean, that's really all your job is as a father around a pool. Just make sure kid doesn't die.
How about this weekend? I'm cooking, right? And I don't have my outdoor kitchen done yet at the house, and I need to do that as soon as possible. So I'm out there, and I'm using my tailgating barbecue, the little Weber that I have, mm-hmm. the little whatever it is, a Q200 or whatever the hell the thing is, Q300. And I have it on a little cart and everything. So I'm using that to cook. So I'm sitting there and I'm looking at everybody and they go out and they buy giant slabs of ribs. They buy like stuff that I'm like, look, man, do the math here. You know, it's a little barbecue. I'm not going to be sitting here for 5 hours cooking your ribs the way that you want them done. Like, this is like, let's be a little bit productive when it comes to cooking methods.
Temporary solution right now.
Son of a bee, man.
It's crazy.
Catering.
Let's get the headlines.
This is WAXY AM South Miami and WSFS HD2 Miramar. Here's what's trending now from the Concierge for Men's Headlines Desk. ED, no problem. Bat 1,000 with Concierge Men's Wellness. ConciergeMens.com.
These headlines are brought to you by Boost Mobile. Switch to Boost Mobile and get 2 lines with 3 gigs of 4G LTE data per line for only $50. Boost makes it easy to switch. Switching makes it easy to save. The All-Star team was revealed. Marcell Ozuna was named an NL starter. Giancarlo Stanton makes the team as a reserve. That's his 4th career selection that matches Miguel Cabrera for most in Marlins history. Justin Bour is up for the fans' final vote, so y'all need to vote for him. #VoteBour, or you can vote at Marlins.com. Ric Flair has tweeted out his support for Justin Bour.
So weird.
Big Justin Bour fan.
Why does he like him?
I don't know. Why you got
to
question?
I mean,
that?
What's not to just like?
Let it happen.
He's a big old boy with hits home runs with no batting gloves. I get it, but Ric Flair, I mean, it's a Hall of Famer.
Marlins beat the Brewers 10-3. Marcell Ozuna had a home run with the Stanton's bat after the Brewers complained about pine tar on his bat.
Yeah,
he showed them who's boss. He can do it with any bat.
So, what the advantage with pine tar is what now? Does it kind of like remove some of the vibration aside from obviously great grip?
Doesn't it? Yeah, it makes it you have a better grip on the bat, doesn't it?
Well, I think these guys have enough man strength that they can hold onto the bat, except Tim Tebow,
well,
right?
I think that's
Tim
what
Tebow
Ozuna
obviously lets
him.
His go flying.
Hey, man,
up
Tim
stands.
Tebow, I think he's hitting like 385 right now. Recognized. He's got a homer.
Tim Tebow's
glad
got
you
little
brought
hands.
Him up. Is that a fact?
Yep.
Oh, it's so disappointing. Gordon Hayward met with the Miami Heat on Saturday. They put up a Gordon Hayward banner outside the arena. Many players attended, including Hassan Whiteside, Udonis Haslam, and even free agent James Johnson was there. Goran Dragic Skyped in. What did that sound like, Romberg?
Sounded pretty good. I heard Goran do that. I don't. Are we going to be able to get it? I got to wait for Spo to send it in this morning. I think
we did have audio of it.
Yeah, but Spo said we have a little
they
bit of audio.
They recorded his Skype session.
Yeah. We got
from
that.
From Slovenia.
We'll get that. We'll get that for the fans. There's a report
for that.
I don't know if this is a report, but this is Steve Kyler of Basketball Insiders. He says, while far from decided, hearing Miami feels good about where they stand with Gordon Hayward.
Yeah, but is that from Miami's side or from Gordon Hayward's side?
I guess he is. Well, I think from Gordon's side, I saw in Barry Jackson's column that he was impressed with the meeting.
I saw that as well.
So
I think it's an uphill battle actually for the Heat because, I mean, I do think Brad Stevens being obviously the head coach of the Celtics and him having played for him in college, and frankly Stevens is the one who recruited Hayward when nobody knew who Hayward was. He recruited him to
meeting.
Butler, which ends up basically you know, making his entire career. So you could argue he owes his career to Brad Stevens, so that might be attractive to him. And then in addition to the fact they have attractive pieces and they've stockpiled draft picks and all that other nonsense.
Courtesy meeting. Like, if Romberg was a free agent and Art Keogh or Butch Davis is the head coach, he gives him a courtesy meeting even if he has no intention to go there.
I thought about kind of creating that kind of analogy as well. And it really does. Once you get to this level, the sense of familiarity might be a little bit nice. But for the most part, at the end of the day, it's, you know, it's the same sport, the same league, the same everything. Well, the guy that kind of taught you in college, you might have certain feelings toward. You might have a little bit of a nostalgia feeling with him.
Oh, yeah, the guy who recruited you in college, right. too, you know, right. not just coached you. Right. So it's you like might that, feel like you
Oh, you definitely
him
owe him the meeting. There's no doubt about that.
But you feel like that, so as an athlete, you only would feel like you owe him the meeting. Like, would it be hard for you to turn down?
No,
it kind of just feels like that's the only thing
they
got.
The offer from that guy?
It just feels like that's kind of the big card that Boston has is, okay, we have Brad Stevens, which I get, but.
Well, I mean, let's not pretend like it's a terrible team. It's definitely not.
No,
I mean,
they've got
a good team. They've done, Danny Ainge has obviously done a very good job. So, I mean, listen, I don't want to sit here and compliment Boston on Miami
that's
radio.
Kinda,
that is my move, and it's a very dangerous path to go down. But it's hard to deny what Danny Ainge has done. Although what's interesting is what Danny Ainge has done isn't so far working out during free agency as well as we expected. I am surprised by that.
I was going to say that a lot of people weren't too happy with Boston and their draft and what went on in the draft for Boston. And a lot of people were confused with like Danny Ainge's moves. It's like, what the hell are you doing right now?
Well, see, there's the thing, though. If you're Boston and you got kind of one guy that you want, you shouldn't just go pay or go get anybody. Like, no. I can get not wanting to give up. So phlegmy this morning. I can understand not wanting to go get Paul George if you know he's going to go. You know, and I think
depending what you have to give up for him,
right? And that's the other thing that you know people know Boston has all those assets, so it is tough for when you're dealing with them. Everyone's going to go and say, "All right, I want that Nets pick, bro."
Mm-hmm. That's what I heard.
Give me that Nets pick.
I heard an expert discussing that, and it might have been Woj actually on ESPN Radio, and he was talking about the disadvantage for Boston is that they do have that pick and they do have those assets, and so then when you're talking about trade offers, people expect you to throw that in or
offer
it. And you may not be willing to do that. And you certainly wouldn't be willing to do that for a guy on a 1-year rental.
So the situation with Hayward is what in terms of money wise? It's a max deal, right?
Yeah, man. Everyone's going to be offering a max, which would be
especially after the
all around the same. The Jazz would end up paying him more salary wise. But like Slim said, with the tax liability in Utah, it ends up not being a huge difference.
And we're looking at $173 million for Griffin, $201 million for Curry. What would somebody like Hayward be getting?
I think it would be something like
the same as Griffin, right?
No. Oh, for...
Well, Griffin got 5 years, though.
Okay, so it would be 4 years, 120-something million?
Yeah.
So, like, basically $30 million a year? It all depends how many years you've played in the league.
I thought he was, like, a $25 million a year guy.
No, he'd start out at a max of, like, just
29
under, like, 29.7, okay. I think, is what he would start at.
I bet you Riley gets him to take less.
And you're saying
Deion and James Johnson, I like what you're doing here, Slim.
Possibly.
And you're saying that if he stayed in Utah, he's going to be able to get how much more? Approximately
none.
$40 million no, more
he,
or no?
No, he does get more salary-wise.
Because that's his current team.
You're just saying it doesn't end up
being
that much more.
I'm not talking about
take home.
I'm talking about the number that is on the contract.
Okay, then, I mean, why does that matter? Who cares?
Well, I think it doesn't matter for bird rights and all that in the future. I don't know, does it matter? I think Utah would maybe be in the position to offer him the supermax at some point before he could have that with another organization, right? If he stays with Utah. I think Utah is the most financially beneficial situation, but
he hasn't made one of those all NBA teams yet, so he's not, you know, he doesn't qualify yet for that
he doesn't get
supermax.
So no, not yet.
He could do that here and maybe eventually get that type of deal here.
He would. The big difference is he would make about he can't get that full bird max in the final year, which would be about $40 million. But again, the one thing with these situations when you sign with a team elsewhere, because like the discrepancy between what he would make with the Jazz and other teams, I mean, the biggest difference would be like the last year of the fourth year is like a $2 million difference. It's really not that much.
So it's nothing much at all.
And so the last year would be of your contract could be a 39 $1 million guaranteed year in the fifth year. But like we were saying last hour, a lot of these contracts have opt-outs, so he could opt out and re-up anyway if he wanted, you know, if he wanted to. Obviously, if something tragic happens, like, really can't kill this one today. If something tragic happens, like he tears his knee or there's a Bosch situation, yeah, that's a situation where obviously you'd want that fifth year, like right. Bosch got. But for the most part, if you're an able-bodied NBA player and of his caliber, you're probably going to be able to re-up after 3 years if you wanted to. And at that situation, you'll get even more money guaranteed
right.
for your next contract.
It's the difference between $127.8 million and $172.4 million. But again,
all that difference is
the $127.8 million is 4 years. The $172.4 million is 5 years. I mean, he's opting out anyways. Out of probably both of those deals, so it's negligible at the end of the day in terms of money. It won't end up being, I suppose, a money decision per se, but there will be other factors there.
And with the state income tax and stuff like that, he does end up with more money in his pocket if he signs here.
Here's Woj discussing Hayward's decision and Brad Stevens.
The relationship with the head coach is going to be really important to Gordon Hayward. Mm-hmm. And he plays for an elite head coach in Quinn Snyder in Utah. Eric Spoelstra is a two-time NBA championship yep. coach. And obviously, he's familiar with Brad Stevens. He played with him at Butler. But how teams are going to build around him, mm-hmm. how they're going to shape a system around him. You know, Utah, he's become an all-star under Quinn Snyder. The offense is built around him. And I think that was a lot of the conversation yesterday with Eric Spoelstra in Miami, and I think that's going to continue to be a focus today in Boston. It's going to be a very basketball-driven conversation these 3 days of meetings.
Boring.
Another, well, sorry. Next time we'll play your bite.
No. I'm not saying your bite was boring. I'm just saying the idea that it's a basketball-driven conversation is boring.
And another thing is,
I hope it's a hair gel-driven conversation with Riley.
People think the whole $30 million a year thing is you know, it's taxable in Florida. It's obviously not. The only thing that he's getting taxed in Florida is his home games.
Yeah.
Every
right,
other
yeah, people
state
have to
that
remember
you go
that,
to but, to play,
right.
you have to file income tax for that state. So I remember when I was playing, I had like six different income taxes that I had to file from all the different states. They got to send you all
what
of their bills.
In the ass.
That's true, but you end up playing so many games in basketball at home
right.
that it makes a significant difference, particularly in basketball
you know
over,
what I think,
over the NFL.
I think that's a bogus rule, and I'll tell you why. Like, so what happens if you're injured? What happens
it
if
it doesn't
you're,
matter? You're making the trip. You're getting your money there.
But sometimes you're not making the trip.
Well,
and you stay in Florida.
Where
that's
kind of
nonsense.
Very rare
do
you ever not make
paid.
The trip.
Really?
Oh yeah. If you're not making
paid.
The trip, it's because you're on PUP. You're on physically unable to perform.
But you still get your money.
Yeah, but the team is playing in that state.
Right.
And they're getting their money
but
in that state.
But you're not working there. Like, that seems like nonsense.
Well,
here's
the loophole that you do. Usually when you have your signing bonus or you're doing any of your contract negotiating or signing, you're doing it in, say, for instance, if it's Kiko Alonso and he's up in Buffalo, New York, right? And he wants to go ahead and do his new deal with the Miami Dolphins. He flies into Miami to sign the paperwork. Mm-hmm. Therefore, I did my deal in the state of Florida. There goes your state tax. So he's obviously afforded another 6% of his signing bonus because he signed the deal in Florida. When I signed my deal with the Atlanta Falcons, I had them fax me the paperwork. I signed all of my deal here in Miami.
Mm-hmm.
And then I obviously sent them back the paperwork just to avoid the state income tax.
Gotcha.
So remember that it's not like the full $30 million or $100 million or whatever it is getting the 6% break. It's not. It's basically whatever your home game is. That's why it's really beneficial for guys when they're in the NFL to play for the Miami Dolphins, the Tennessee Titans, especially in that AFC South Conference where it's Jacksonville Jaguars, Tennessee Titans, Indianapolis Colts, and Houston Texans, because Houston, Tennessee, and Florida all have no state tax. So imagine out of that conference, three out of the four teams, you're basically like playing at home where you're not getting state tax anyway. So that's one of the benefits and why a lot of guys love signing with that conference.
Hassan Whiteside did some recruiting on Snapchat for the free agents. We'll bring that for you next. Hey guys, join Heat mascot Bernie. Always up for those hijinks, Bernie. An all-American food and beverage menu, music, and more, plus fireworks at the Xfinity East Plaza, the American Airlines Arena, starting at 6 o'clock on the 4th of July. For more information, visit 601miami.com/July 4th. Go celebrate the holiday with Bernie. Make sure he doesn't silly string you, though. It's always his move. He's got it in the holster.
Bernie is always up for shenanigans.
He's always up for shenanigans. Speaking of shenanigans, Hassan Whiteside, he decided that he was going to be up to some shenanigans and do some recruiting. We know that he was in the Gordon Hayward meeting, but then decided to take everyone on a little snappy Snapchat tour of South Florida and why free agents should join him down here.
I don't know about y'all, but if I'm a free agent, ain't nothing like bringing the kids to the beach after practice, you hear? You hear me? And it's not Cali. That water 80 degrees, you hear me? You feel me? What that shirt says?
Keep it like that, you hear me?
Listen, you can walk in the cold, or you can ride in the heat. Or you can ride in the heat. On the beach. Hey, listen, that water felt like a hot tub. I gotta come out here more.
You ready to come out here tomorrow? Lunchtime?
Hey, they vacation here. We live here, don't we?
We do this. We do this.
You see us.
You could be out here in the wet feet with the Crocs on.
Where they do that at?
Look at this view, you know what I mean? Look at this view. We do this, you know what I mean? I mean,
hello. Somebody want a great place to live? Yeah, I did.
That's the Hassan Whiteside.
So good. I mean, it's so good.
Where did you do that at?
I told Coop on Saturday we were talking about it, and I said, if Gordon Hayward follows Hassan on Snapchat, I mean, he's already committed because Hassan's Snapchat is just so darn entertaining. How could you not love it down here?
How could you
and
not?
And then Hassan actually took it to Snapchat to recruit Gordon Hayward.
It was a good move, man. It was a solid move by Hassan. I like it. I do, and man, I think the most surprising thing I heard this weekend was the James Johnson thing, though. The fact that he is willing to wait and the fact that he was in the recruitment meeting.
Heat lifer.
That's crazy, man. He is a heat lifer. So they have to have, got to think, like, they're like, hey, man, we got this on you.
Well,
like, we're going to take care of you.
Well, I think Riley said, right, well, yes, I think he has that some sort of indication that the Heat are taking care of him either way. I think Riley said at his postseason press conference that there's a plan A and a plan B and no plan C. And it seems like to me plan A is Hayward Johnson. Plan B is Waiters Johnson. And if he strikes out on all of that, it seems like he would end up with just James Johnson.
Plan Bam.
And he then strikes out on all of that. Yeah. Yeah.
But we all know at the beginning of this thing, ever since Dwayne Wade departure, started with LeBron, then the whole Chris Bosh thing, everything's been a little bit salty. And then obviously the icing on the cake was Dwayne electing to go somewhere else. I really believe that, like, this is Pat's last big hoorah to try to assemble something great to go for that next run on that championship. So you know damn well that he's going to try to do whatever he possibly can right now to not drop the ball and to try to make something really spectacular happen. Because let's face it, like, PR is almost done. Like, he's
so sweet.
I don't know if I agree with that. Just because even if the Heat did strike out on both Hayward and Waiters, which nobody seems to really be discussing. Everyone seems to think Deion is a done deal if we miss out on Hayward. That may not happen because now the Lakers are in the mix. They talked to him last night.
Look at this guy, though. You think that guy's done?
Well, there's no doubt that he's
Romberg a picture right now.
There's no
Pat
doubt
Riley
that he's
looking yoked.
But still, man,
he's doing that good TRT,
no, but,
man.
But Romberg, my point is that in 2018, that huge free agent class is coming up. I mean, it's an insane free agent class if you read the names on it. So even if he was to miss out on both Waiters and Hayward, then you would imagine he'd have a lot of cap space to go after somebody in 2018. So I definitely don't think that this would be his last hurrah.
I also
if he
wonder,
was to strike out on Hayward, he's going to have another hurrah next season, and I doubt Riley's retiring before next season.
Well, I wonder if Riley wants the home run cut to be next season. Like, so if there will be a case, like Slim was talking about, where they do the one-year deal because he still wants to take the shot at Paul George and Russell Westbrook.
Yeah, but Hayward's not going to take a one-year deal, so you're locking Hayward up for 4 years. If you have Hayward, you're not Hayward and James Johnson. You're not going to have cap space for anybody big. You're not going to get a Chris Paul or a Paul George or a Carmelo Anthony or a LeBron James.
Yeah, well, it's going to be one. LeBron James.
Joel Embiid.
Who's the guy that Zaslow
so
thinks they're going to be going
free
after?
Free agents next season.
Who does he think they're going to be going
That one
after?
Guy that we were talking about last week that can possibly be a cheaper solution. That
Danilo Gallinari?
Gallinari, yeah.
Gallinari. How could you forget?
Heaven forbid.
He's got a big meeting with the Clippers. Apparently, they're trying to lock him up. You know, so I don't know, man. I don't know.
A texter writes in, how do you know Plan A isn't Waiters Johnson Hayward? Hey, man, if Riley figures out a way to do the Waiters-Johnson-Hayward deal, I mean, we need to be on those knees and kiss those rings, because that would mean Deion Waiters and James Johnson are taking so much less money.
I'll tell you, I mean,
so much less money.
I mean, Andy Ellisberg is a salary cap wizard, but I mean, that'd be some real trickery.
They'd have to trade a bunch of guys. You know, no more Tyler Johnson, no more Justice Winslow, Josh Richardson. Like,
and trade him for dump their salary? I mean, who is taking that Tyler Johnson deal?
New Jersey
might.
Or Brooklyn.
Sacramento. You know, like, these are, did they both that interest? They wanted to sign to those deals last year.
Brooklyn did.
Sacramento, too.
I mean, a lot of teams aren't going to be interested because it's such a backloaded contract and because they're going to owe him so much money down the line.
But a lot of these cities, they can't get guys.
But I mean, you need guys on your roster. I mean, what are you going to do? You're going to deplete your entire bench to try. And then even then, you don't have enough money. Like, even then, you wouldn't have enough money to sign them now. Because Tyler Johnson right now isn't making that much money. He makes a lot of money in another year.
Mm-hmm.
But he's not making that much right now. Like, who are you cutting that you can afford to pay Deion Waiters what he's going to get offered by these other teams?
Yeah,
and James Johnson and Gordon Hayward.
You're maxing out
Hayward. Who?
You don't read Albert Nahmad's website?
You would need to trade Tyler Johnson. You'd either have to trade. If you could trade McBob, I mean, that'd be a home run.
Definitely we can trade McBob, but this seems really realistic.
You could stretch him. And so if you stretched him, his hit would only be $2 million, which means it would save you $4 million. So it's not.
And that's significant. $4 million is the difference between 10 and 14.
Yeah, so if you were able to do that, now you're already talking $9 million. If you remove Justice, it'd be what? Like 11, 11, 12?
I mean, listen,
it's not crazy. It's just hard work.
If he takes 11 or 12, then fine. Then I agree with you. And listen, I'm hoping he does. And maybe Riley can get that done. Maybe Riley can say, hey, I told you I'd take care of you. And I've definitely proven that so far. And I put you in a position to get these kind of offers. And I'll continue to do so. And you know you'll continue to improve and be the star that you always meant to be. I mean, maybe he gives that pitch. And so maybe Deion does leave $6 million on the table.
Well, you also, if you see,
it's a lot of money to leave on the table.
I'm sure Riley's pitch to him also is going to be, you know, the rumored teams that are interested in him: Knicks, Bulls, Kings, Lakers. Like,
he's not winning there,
loser,
right?
Except loser,
for the
loser.
Lakers. The Lakers is the team on that list that I would think makes us a bit nervous.
I'd be interested to know what they're going to offer him. Like, if they're going to offer him a short term deal, is that what Deion wants? And if it's a long-term deal, I mean, I got to tell you, if the Lakers have the plans that everybody says that they do, I mean, he's going to be a prime trade piece. They're going to move his ass as soon as they can to try and make room for Paul George, maybe Russ. Everybody's looking at the Oklahoma City Thunder. Like, it's Russ and PG. Like, that's a farm system for the Lakers next year. They're both going to bolt, go to the Lakers. Magic's going to sign them on up. And, you know, one last ride for OKC this year.
I think it's just a giant run and plot to just take on one team. Everybody's out there to just do one thing, and that's just try to beat the Warriors. Find some certain way, some superstar athlete to pick up. Because, obviously, you're not going to beat them with just a run-of-mill team. Like, you have to have superstars on that team. That was just so evident last year. Because even the previous year winner, the Cavs, you know, it was an anomaly what they did ultimately with what LeBron did. But now adding Kevin Durant to the mix, like, come on, man.
Could you imagine, though? Like, here's the thing with signing Gordon Hayward, though. Okay, it may not seem like right now you're in the mix. Well, let's say LeBron does bolt for the Lakers. Look at the East right now, man.
Well, that's what
it is. The East is a joke.
I mean,
it's worse than it was.
And if you're Pat Riley and you believe that LeBron is going West, then that leaves East wide. And then you're probably the number one seed.
Maybe.
I mean, you have a very good shot at it. You'd have another year for those guys to gel with, you know, with Gordon Hayward. And I mean, you really, really have a very legitimate shot to win. I mean, you're still not going to get past the Warriors, but you can win an Eastern Conference title.
No, you don't get past the Warriors, but, you know, I keep hearing this thing. Well, why are people, what's the point? What's the point of even making moves? Like, hey, you don't know. Like, it's basketball. Like, other than LeBron James, who stays healthy all the time? It's not like Steph Curry. Like, he's been the most durable guy in his career. So, I mean, it doesn't. Kevin Durant had a pretty significant injury this year. It's a guy who's had a bad foot problem in his past. It doesn't take that much to trip everything up.
You think that the Heat with Gordon Hayward would beat a Warriors team without Steph Curry, with a healthy Kevin Durant, or vice versa?
You probably have a shot, yeah. Like, if you have that kind of a significant loss to your team, because you got to remember, when you lose that guy, you know, it, when you have that top heavy of a team, you know, you're going to, if you lose that kind of person, I mean, then you got to start relying on the young guys and seeing if they can step up in your place. And I know they brought back Ellington and Iguodala, but you know, it's not, it doesn't take that much to make everything tilt. Like they lost Andrew Bogut. It screwed everything up for them in the finals. Like they lost Draymond for a green, Draymond for a game that one series,
that was
2 years ago.
Warriors team,
but then
though.
When the, yeah.
I mean, this year they lost Durant for a little bit and they bounced back.
Yeah. But my point is that it doesn't, especially in the heat of a season, I think just a move like that can just topple you over completely. So,
I mean, listen, I'd love to think you're right. I think that the Warriors would still be a challenge, even with injury to one of their huge superstars. I think that they would still be a challenge. But certainly I would think that the East is wide open. I have been reading a lot about Gordon Hayward, and a lot of the experts think that, you know, we haven't seen at all Gordon Hayward's potential, that he's much better than a lot of people realize mm-hmm. or even know, because he's been playing on the Jazz.
Right. And that's also, you know, that's one of the things that the Ringer reported, that it appeals to him that if he comes to Miami, they're going to feature him. He's going to be the future scorer here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, which also it probably says if Gordon Hayward does sign here, I don't know if they're going to work out a Dion Waiters situation, because I think that's awkward to have right. Dion here, because Dion is late shot guy. That's kind of, that's what he does. And so I don't know. I don't know if Gordon Hayward commits, I think it's Gordon and Johnson. I don't think it's a situation. And the Heat are playing a little bit of chicken here. Like the idea that Gordon Hayward wants to wait until Wednesday not only annoys me, I think it makes you nervous as a Heat fan, because it can kind of all go by the wayside. Because what if Dion does get wooed and then Gordon doesn't stay here? I mean,
yeah, that would be worst case scenario, but then we'd have a hell of a lot of cap room for 2018.
Ugh, cap room.
I mean, there's some Heat fans who don't even want us going after Hayward right now. They want him to save the cap room for 2018. There's a lot of Heat fans that feel that way.
Another mediocre year, though. The impatient Heat fan.
I mean,
is
I'm not saying I'm not.
I'm not
that Heat fan.
But the thing that Heat fans got to realize is, you know, the reason I think Gordon Hayward is even interested in you is because what you were able to do last year and show that you could make guys better. You know, it wasn't you standing on the laurels of having LeBron James, Dwayne mm-hmm. Wade, Hall of Famers here. You were able to make guys better, and so that does appeal to some free agents.
And you need
so
to capitalize on that.
Yeah, and so if you weren't able to, if you do swing and miss on Gordon and you don't get Dion back and you have a bad year, I don't know how that's going to help you in 2018.
I don't know if you're a very attractive destination. I mean, you're attractive maybe just because you're Miami and you're in the East and it would be a really weak East. But, I mean, when you look at the names on the list, frankly, I don't think any of those whales, I don't know how many of them we would have a realistic shot at anyways. I mean, I'd love to think LeBron would come back, but I think that seems really unlikely.
I wouldn't
love it. Yeah, and if you're Riley, you wouldn't like it. Really? Mm-mm. You tell LeBron James to get out of town?
I would, unless he apologized.
It's really about the players. Like if nobody can beat Golden State and these guys are all free agents, they're going to talk and they're going to say, all right, where can we go? Who can fit us all in where we can team up and beat these guys? And then you're looking at LeBron, Russell Westbrook, DeMarcus Cousins, LaMarcus Aldridge, Joel Embiid, Paul George, Chris Paul.
It's an unbelievable class.
Like Carmelo Anthony, Dwayne Wade. Yeah, I mean, they could really...
Yeah, like
you think the Heat have a shot there?
Well, they would have to move everything around. You know what I mean? They would have to like trade Goran and Hassan and all that stuff.
And those guys would have to want to come here. I mean, LeBron would have to want to come back. Wade would have to want
to
come back if we want Wade as part of that. I don't know if Wade is after in 2018 is the difference maker there.
I think the move would be if you don't get Gordon Hayward, possibly getting and
bringing
Dion goes,
Wade here in order to try to entice.
Wade would take the 1 year, 20 something million dollars. You know what I mean? He doesn't necessarily, because he's going to get bought out. He would take like a...
I don't even know if you'd have to pay him that much.
Well, there's an interesting story as far as LeBron and his future with the Cavs is concerned, as a report came out as what he's trying to do with the Cavaliers this summer. We'll get to that next. Listen for Just the Tips with Amber on our show Thursday mornings in the 8 o'clock hour. It's brought to you by the fine folks at East Coast Public Adjusters. We've got your assets covered. Call them up, 855-GET-ECPA, or visit eastcoastpublicadjusters.com, and don't settle for less. And listen to Just the Tips right here on The Ticket. It's opening for Zaslow today. Romberg and Amber are here. This will be your crew for the next couple days as Zaslow is enjoying some time off for the 4th of July. Lazy ass. Lazy ass.
Yep.
That's what I like to go with anytime he's not here. So free agency is in full spin. The Heat right now are awaiting what's going on with Gordon Hayward, Riles, and Spo. Went to that meeting with they went and had a meeting with Deion Waiters this weekend. He reportedly had a meeting with the Lakers last night, and their GM is his former agent, Rob Pelinka. So there is a tie there. I think that Rob Pelinka is doing him a solid. I think he's trying to create leverage. That's
you
what
think?
I think. Yep. I don't think they're really interested.
You don't think that they're interested in him?
Get the bidding war up, you think?
I think he's helping his guy. I think that's what he's trying to do.
I mean, ESPN put up a list I saw yesterday of the top free agents available in this free agent market. And Deion Waiters, of course, is, you know, a top 10 on that list. I mean, he's definitely one of the most important free agents because, frankly, this is a fairly weak free agent class. But it's pretty remarkable where he's climbed up there in one season. That's why I think he has to capitalize on it, and he may end up taking the biggest deal that he gets. Maybe it will just come down to money for Deion Waiters. And he's not going to get the biggest deal from the Heat.
No, I don't think so. I mean, but there's also got to be a thing where people got to, I do wonder how much people are buying into Deion Waiters. Like, he was in a bit of, you know, he's got this reputation coming into last year. He has the good year, but he only plays half the year. So I wonder
he feels like he got screwed last season.
No, I understand that, but I still wonder, like, if Deion thinks he's going to get a max deal off of playing half a season on a team that didn't make the playoffs, I don't think that's realistic. I can't imagine that kind of market's out there for a guy, and I think if that was the case, I think we'd hear that a little bit more. Like, it's kind of, it feels like all the interest in Deion's very tepid right now. There's not a lot of rumors on him.
Yeah, that's true. Well, we know that apparently the Kings are interested, the Knicks are interested, the Lakers are interested. What was the fourth team on that list?
There's
the Bulls. Chicago. That's right. Chicago's interested.
Ooh, that'd be funny.
That would be funny.
Deion and D-Wade.
And D-Wade.
But obviously they'd be cool because D-Wade's like friends with everybody now. He's friends with Rajon Rondo.
And D-Wade's not, you know, won't be there very long.
Yeah. ESPN came out with a report this past weekend that LeBron James isn't helping the Cavaliers recruit any free agents this summer. This is something that he has been doing in the past, but things are different this summer when he's decided no recruiting help from LBJ. You guys are on your own. And they still don't have a GM. There was a story this past weekend that the Cavaliers had a trade for Paul George in hand between the owners of the three organizations, the Pacers, the Nuggets, and the Cavs had a trade in place for Kevin Love, Paul George, and some picks, and that the Pacers GM vetoed it. He went, he said, nah, we're not doing it. And then they, of course, made the trade with OKC, but LeBron ain't helping.
Allegedly. I wonder how big of a story this really is. First of all, what's LeBron doing right now? Is he on vacation, or is he at his house in LA? He's probably not in Cleveland.
He's complaining about the CBA.
The summer. Right, that's true. He is on Twitter complaining about the CBA that he was part of negotiating. But if he's not around, then he's not necessarily around to recruit anyways. And I wonder, I mean, does LeBron really need to recruit at this point? I mean, if you're recruiting Kevin Durant, maybe. But, I mean, do you need to send out the big guns to recruit?
I think you do.
These free agents? Are these guys not familiar with LeBron James and his work and the situation in Cleveland? I mean, we just saw Carmelo Anthony reportedly is now willing to waive his no-trade clause to get traded to either Cleveland or Houston. So obviously, you're not recruiting Melo in that situation. I mean, Melo certainly is familiar
with
James.
Well, he has to get traded. Yeah, I mean, that's kind of
and he has to force a trade. So I don't really know. I mean, don't get me wrong. I like this story. I just wonder how much of a story it actually is because I just don't know in what situation LeBron needs to spend his summers in the meetings with those guys.
Yeah, but I think if you're LeBron and people want to know where the hell you're going to play, and he's not going to tell anybody, and he's not going to help anybody out.
That's LeBron's move. LeBron's move has always been that. LeBron has never helped out any of his organizations. LeBron is not that guy. He very much is about himself. He's about the players, and he does what he wants.
He will when he wants. Like but when he doesn't, that's kind of the red flag that, all right, he's on the outs.
No, but I mean, he never has in terms of leaving an organization. He's never He's never held. I mean, he could have told the Heat, you know, I'm not going to re-sign. I mean, he could have told the Cavs he wasn't going to re-sign. I mean, that's not his style. His style is to be cloaked in secrecy and to, you know, be denying report, not even speaking when there's, you know, moving trucks in front of his house. And it's pretty darn obvious that he's gone.
I'll tell you what pissed me off this weekend. How about this? These Panthers cutting ties with the Jaromir Jagr. What the hell, man?
Oh, poor
what the hell, man?
So it seems like what happened there is that they did try to retain him, but they tried to retain him for a price that Jagr apparently wasn't very happy with. I mean, I think Jaromir Jagr, I think, what, made $5 million this season? And I don't know if he's getting that anywhere else on the market, but I think that's why he wants to test the market and see what else is out there. Because, I mean, who's used to a big price tag. I think that the situation there is that the Panthers are going in a different direction in terms of maybe younger, faster play, and they still wanted Jagr. Really, you want their direction to be 43-year-olds?
Yeah,
I mean, Jaromir Jagr is a legend.
He's a legend.
He's an absolute legend, and that's why you want him here.
Yep.
But in terms of play, I can understand why the Panthers would maybe be limited on what they would be willing to offer him.
I'm skeptical on these new Panthers, like these confounded Panthers with their metrics and their sneaky ways of trying to statisticize their hockey. I'm not about it. That's not what got them to the playoffs.
I like that word.
They tried changing all these things. They hightailed that coach out of here. Didn't even pay for his cab ride, and now they don't want Yags. I don't like it.
There's a lot of Panther fans who probably don't like it.
I don't like
some of these moves.
Panthers are skating on thin ice with me. I'm not happy about it.
Did you see the video that Jagr put out of him with the bobblehead Jagr?
Very sad.
This is very sad. He did seem
then,
sad.
He said,
am I going to play for the Panthers next season? And then he had his bobblehead, or am I not with the Panthers next season? And his bobblehead saying yes. But I could see these negotiations not actually being over. The Panthers are doing everything right. They put out the statement thanking him, calling him a legend.
Yeah, it's over.
Why is it over? If he goes and gets offers from other places that aren't what he expects, or doesn't get offers from other places, then you circle back around to the Panthers.
No, that's kind of like don't let the door hit you on the ass on the way out, old man.
Mm.
That's what it feels like. And it's a slap in the face to a legend. We loved Jaromir Jagr on the Panthers, and now he's gone, and I don't like it.
Well, look what's going on over there. You got almost like a youth movement going on right now with the young guys doing very, very well. They're bringing in some young guys. You got one of their guys, Big Thornton, is going up into the office. You got Jags, who, you know, throughout the hockey community is obviously a legend, but is also
throughout the hockey community.
Yeah, throughout like the playing community, the players. You know, they kind of
not the hockey community.
Huh?
What
you called it the cocky community?
You called it the cocky community.
I don't know if that was a Freudian slip.
Oh, might have been. You never know.
You never know.
You never know with me.
But I'm with you, man. Like, but like, isn't Jagr known as like the hardest worker on the team? Like,
yeah,
he's doing workouts after games.
Yeah, it is.
Weighted skates.
But it also becomes a little bit of annoying.
Why?
Like, well, if he's doing it by himself and he's not bringing any guys around with him to do it, a lot of guys will kind of be like, "All right, okay, man, we get it. Yeah, we know you're a workhorse. We get it. You have no life outside of hockey. I understand." So it might have been a little bit annoying for the younger guys, and he might have been pushing that on the younger guys. I know there's a fine line between watch what I do and try to emulate what I do.
Like a Kobe thing.
This is annoying. Yes.
Like a Kobe thing.
Yeah, like a Peyton Manning did the same thing. Peyton was always like grabbing guys all the time. Like, come on, let's go watch film. Let's go watch film. Like, no, man, it's my freaking 15 minutes off that I have before our next meeting. I don't want to go watch film with you. But Peyton would always try to grab guys and tell them, let's go watch film.
It's also why they're not Peyton Manning, though.
Mm-hmm. True.
They're not crazy imbalanced.
Well, you got new coaches. You got management that's shaking things up a little bit. And it was a giant letdown and disappointment from what happened, not the season we just had, the one before.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they should have been in the playoffs. And then this year coming off of what should be an exciting year, and they had a little bit of a redemption feeling for each other, and then they kind of like laid an egg, man.
Yeah, but, you know, they came into this season, they had injuries, and they put out all these contracts, and then it just felt like they went with the overhaul real quick. Like, it's almost like when they made the playoffs, they weren't happy with the way they made the playoffs. You know what I mean?
Cleaning house, man.
I don't know.
Just like a house cleaning thing from the head coach down.
We miss you, Yags. It was a fun run, man. It was a fun run. We got your headlines next.